Andy mentioned that your lower half hasn't felt the same recently. How are you feeling physically and mechanically?
監督は、千賀さんの下半身が、まあ、いつもと違う働き方なのかっていう話をしてたみたいなんですけど、千賀さん自身は体の状態であったりメカニックいかがですか？
まあ、思うように動かない部分ももちろんありますけど、まあ、でも投げれてるという部分、まあ、そこがすごいもどかしい部分かなというふうに思ってます。
Yeah, there are some parts of my body that aren't moving the way I want it to, but at the same time I'm out there and I'm competing, so it's a fine line and it's tough for me because I'm out there but I'm not able to perform.
Andy mentioned,
I guess kind of a tough question, but how much longer can you afford to keep for Senga to figure it out before you kind of have to elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, look, we just got done with the game. We got to get him right, obviously. I'm pretty sure we're going to have some discussion what's next for him. But our job is to get him right, you know. But it's been a struggle, you know. It's been a struggle. And again, we'll see what's next for him.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Sunday, August the 31st, 2025. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at TalkingMetsNoG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. NoG, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, Talking Mets No G, and don't forget the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. I would love for you to join for less than a cup of coffee a month. Happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. Hope you're enjoying some fun and whatever's left of summer, the unofficial end of summer here on this Labor Day, September 1st, just a few hours away. I come to you on this late Sunday night on this Labor Day weekend. And I got to be honest with you guys, I'm very, very cranky. If you follow me on X, I got myself in hot water. I'm cranky. Mets losing 3 out of 4 to the Marlins. We'll talk about where the Mets are, the up and down week. And I'm going to be doing some Mets math because I think now with the final month of the season right there in front of us, you know, I have a pretty good feel of where this team is going to land based on how they're playing. And I think it's enough to make the postseason, but boy, are they leaving a lot up to chance here. And I have a feeling next weekend in Cincinnati is going to tell a lot about how close this thing is. But let's start with the week that just was. Now, if you've been following me on premium content over at the Substack, you've been following some of the up and downs between the Philly series, Nolan McClain, Jonah Tong's debut, obviously the struggles of Ryan Helsley. But this has been kind of a wild week, and I don't remember a week in a long time where the emotions have been so high and low like they've been this week, where you saw this team take a 3-game series from the Phillies, reminiscent of October of 2024, sweeping the Phillies. Now, I wasn't convinced that they were pulling themselves back in the division race, but I said, you know, if they can hang around 3 or 4 games going to Philly for a 4-game series, you never know. Maybe they can make this thing interesting. Well, I don't think that really is something we have to worry about after losing 3 or 4 to Miami. But you have that series. You have the dominant performance by McClain, the debut by Jonah Tong, a slow pitch softball game. I mean, I talked about this over at the Substack, the newsletter, Beyond the Mic. You know, Tong, it was hard to read him between the 2 25-minute delays. I'm sure he's nervous about his debut. It was just a slog of a game that became ridiculous at the end with how positional players on both sides are pitching. But that's another story for another day. And then you just get to these very annoying last two games, the losses to the Marlins. And I'm going to tell you something right now. that I'm really tired of. I'm really tired of a couple of things. I'm tired of Mets starters going into the post game and talking about how, well, I had good stuff. They hit me. No, David Peterson, you didn't have good stuff if you get 8 runs to this team. This is a minor league lineup. That's what really annoys me. The Mets went out there and they lost to a team that has some good starting pitching, which, by the way, they beat up pretty good. Not Alcantara, but pretty good. A couple of bullpen arms, and you look up and down that lineup, and it's below league average to below league average to below league average, and the only bat that they had that's any decent out of them, Kyle Stowers, didn't even play. And, I mean, it's also frustrating how many blue pits this team gets and little bleeders and things. I mean, that's just part of the game and what have you. But to go out there and to give up 8 runs in a couple innings to this lineup, totally unacceptable. So I don't want to hear from him that, I made my pitches, they just didn't work out. Baloney. That's baloney. You want to know where Miami is? They're 4.37 runs per game. They're below league average offense. Not by a lot, but by a little bit. And they're towards the bottom of the league. Let's get real here. I mean, even when you come to power, they're at the bottom of the league in power. They're at the bottom of the league when it comes to slugging percentage. When it comes to OPS, they're in the bottom of the league. They're a below league average team enough. But really chaffed me today. And look, it didn't matter what happened today. Alcantara was pitching like Alcantara does, like an ace. And when he's on like that, unless you're going to hold the other team to a run or nothing, you're probably not going to win that game. But to go out there and be so uncompetitive, and Kodai Senga has been so uncompetitive since he, came off the mound in mid-June with the hamstring injury when he was shutting down Washington. Since that moment and since he's come back, he has been utterly non-competitive. And you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of every time this guy goes to the postgame, well, I was off here, and well, things aren't right. Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm tired of the head up to the sky. I'm tired of the slumped shoulders. I'm tired of the blank look on his face. And you know what? I'm tired of seeing Hefner go out there with the interpreter. Because I don't remember Tanaka needing one or Kuroda needing one. You know what? At some point, could you basically communicate? I understand in the media scrum. I get it. I'm not saying you shouldn't have an interpreter. I understand. But could you just communicate with your pitching coach, for crying out loud? You're in this country 3 years, at least partial time of the year. You have no way to communicate at all and learn enough English to understand between the two of them that you have to have a team of people going out to the mound. And you know, that's something separate. It's dumb for me to be bothered by. But at some point, it's just a synopsis of what they've done with this guy since he's come here. And I was always skeptical about it. I wanted Chris Bassett. You guys who have listened to the show know that. At least Chris Bassett would go out there, pitch 7 innings, give up 3 or 4 runs. Maybe he wasn't great and he spit the bit down the stretch in 2022. I get it. But that guy will give you innings and he'll give you a professional start. That is something that Kodai Senga hasn't done here in a really long time. And yes, he had a good second half in 2023 with a team that was going nowhere. Big difference. And since then, they have built this rotation around this guy. 6-day starts, top medical care. Every time, I mean, the calf injury, which was freak, which is basically him running down the first baseline, something that every slow pitch softball player does. All right, he gets knocked out. Then he has, okay, the shoulder, we knew he had arm problems. That was a serious thing. Then he has a hamstring situation, just jumping for a ball. They're all mad at Pete Alonso. But, you know, a normal person should be able to jump up for a throw and not pull out their hamstring. And then today he's like, well, I don't know what's going on. My lower half isn't right. Well, if your lower half isn't right, go on the injured list. Now is not the time. You know, you got Helsley, I get it. He's all messed up. And we talked about in the pitching lab. Now we got the guy who's the ace here. Now he needs to go in the lab. It's September 1st. You're in a pennant race. You have no time for this. If your lower half isn't good, you don't belong on the field. And I'm sorry. I'm annoyed about this. I'm annoyed that I had 2 professional pitchers go out this weekend and were utterly not competitive. That you have to rely on Brandon Waldell, Chris Devinsky, Justin Hageman. These are guys who are the 4A guys that we talk about, trash or treasure during the offseason, and they're doing better than Senga. Peterson, I'm not as annoyed. I'm annoyed at, but Peterson gave a big boy outing a couple of, starts ago against the Nats, and for the most part, he's been good all year, and maybe you've seen some regression in the mean. But the fact that they've built this rotation around this guy, who I thought was always a skeptical signing from the start, and I warmed up to him, and I've been behind the plate. I've watched him. He has an incredible ghost fork. But the rest of his repertoire is not so incredible. And if you can't set up pitchers to locate and throw strikes to get to the point where that ghost fork is effective, you stink then. You're like everybody else. And this is the time of the year where this team needs him. And he's not there for them. And for you to say your lower half is right, then why are you not on the injured list? You being out there doesn't do anybody good. You being a gamer and not being competitive doesn't do anybody good. And guess what? If it wasn't for these two kids, McLean and Tong, naming McLean, this is how crazy. The month of August was the best offensive month in team history. They were 6 games under .500. And if not for McLean, it would be worse. Think about that. The two kids, one who was pitching in Brooklyn a couple of months ago in Tong, are better than this guy getting paid a lot with all the support, with the whole damn rotation built around him, around the whole team. The whole rotation is built around him. He's the guy that's getting all this support, and he's provided El Zilch, the kid who was pitching in Brooklyn, who didn't have a great outing on Friday, by the way. He didn't have perfect stuff. Imagine if Senga had to sit for 25 minutes in between two pitches for two innings. What would the excuses have been? The kid went out there, grabbed it by the horns, and tried to make whatever he could out of it. And I'm tired of it. And there are always certain guys, you know, Stanek will be another one. And let me tell you, it's a big problem too with Helsley. The fact that Helsley now got to go in the lab for tipping pitches, he didn't look great on Friday, throws the whole bullpen off. I talked about this over at Beyond the Mic. So bottom line is this, September 1st is tomorrow. The Mets are in Detroit. They have a tough stretch. You look at their September, they play at Detroit. They play at Philly for 4 games. Then they come home for their final homestand. It is their final homestand for the Nats, the Padres, and the Rangers. And then they finish the season in Chicago, Miami. Those are going to be tough games. You know, you think Miami's, you know, going to be have one foot on the plane? No, they're going to want to celebrate and dance. They're going to want to stick their rear ends out and bloop their way to a couple of wins like they did this weekend. And what are we going to do? Next weekend in Cincinnati, you're going to start Senga in that ballpark against that team? What are we going to see? We're going to see him sit around with his watching his head up to the sky going, "Up, my lower half wasn't good." And you all know me for a long time. I usually don't get angry like this. But today and this weekend, I am chaffed. The fact that it's September 1st and we're still talking about tweaking this and lab that and we haven't pulled the bull by the horns, these veterans, totally unexcusable. And you know what it really showed me? And I believe this to be true. The only way this team truly will have a breakthrough, and, you know, it's not to do anything with Soto and Lonzo and Nimmo and the core offensive players, Lindor, like those guys are doing their thing. This is about the totality of the team. The only way this team and this organization will have that breakthrough that will take them to the next level that they built last year during their run is with kids from, if they turn out to be who they are. When I mean kids, that means you had Sproat maybe in another week. Maybe he starts next weekend. You've got McLean. You've got Tong. You got a few more kids maybe down in the minors. You have Jet Williams. You have Benj that could be added to the lineup. You know, maybe you're adding them to the lineup, but the way the lineup is, you know, without even Alvarez, they're scoring runs is kind of scary. That lineup could be really good. But if you're going to take the next step, particularly with this starting rotation, you're going to have to go with the three kids. You keep Peterson there and Holmes right now because Holmes has already gone this far. And you see what it is. As far as I'm concerned, put Senga on the IL, and if you blow him up to the moon and send him back to Japan after the season, I'd never care if I didn't see him again. And let me tell you something. I don't want to hear it going into next year that you're building that rotation around him. He doesn't deserve a damn thing from this organization anymore. A damn thing. Because A, if he's hurt and he's out there and he's pushing through it, that ain't helping the team. That's selfish in my opinion. B, if he's bad, which I suspect he might be, and we're doing all this, not we, but they are doing all this to build a rotation around him, that's even worse. Sometimes we got to get over the strikeouts and the you know, spin rate and the ghost fork and all this other stuff and just acknowledge the fact sometimes players can't play. Just because the numbers say X, the eyes say Y, this guy don't have it. You're going to give this guy a ball in a big spot in the postseason? You really are? Even if he's completely healthy, you really, really are. What did he do? I mean, even last year when he came back, he pitched 5 good innings against Atlanta, and he ran down to first base and blew out his calf. I still don't know how he did it. The shoulder thing, that's a pitcher thing. That's a different story. He pitched a couple innings against the Phillies to give a home run to Schwarber, so he's basically a reliever. And then he was bad against the Dodgers. He was they didn't even deal with him in the Milwaukee series. And look, there's other reasons to be angry at the Mets in 2025 with their starting pitching. You have Montas that went down, bad signing, things like that. Look, that happens. Even Holmes, I know Holmes Holmes is going out. As much as you want to criticize him, guy was a closer a year ago, pitching an inning here or there. I mean, he's had 142 innings. He's got a 1.12 ERA plus. He's basically a 6-inning, 3-run guy, 5-inning, 2-run guy. Sometimes he's very good, sometimes he's not so good. He's probably better served into the bullpen in the postseason. And Manaea, I'm not going to get crazy about because I think Manaea's bone chips are impacting him. He's clearly changed his repertoire from a year ago. He can't throw certain pitches. So the repertoire we saw that got him to the contract, that got him to be the ace of the staff, you're not seeing that. He's going to have to get those bone chips cleared out. So that's a compromised pitcher. He's out there. He's choosing to be out there, but everybody knows his situation. So, and the Mets are trying to work through it by saying, okay, you can't throw this pitch or that pitch. You got to rely on, another type of situation. I understand that. I don't think he's throwing his changeup. Actually, let me bring it up real quick. If you look at Manaea real quick, it's clear that he's protecting his arm. Because last year, in 2024, he was throwing his four-seamer, his sinker, and his sweeper. And he even threw a changeup and a cutter. This year, he's throwing a four-seamer and a sweeper. He's not really throwing his changeup. He's not throwing a cutter. And he's not throwing his sinker at all. Which tells me that's probably because his arm is hurting him with the bone chips. But Senga, even when he was doing well, I was always tempted about getting crazy about him. Because it was always like, well, how is he getting people out? He's letting a lot of runners on base. His advanced metrics indicate that his fastball is hittable. He's about 2 runs more on his FIP than he is on his ERA. And I gotta listen to this garbage in the postseason and the postgame? My lower half isn't right there. Why are you out there? I never scream and yell, but I gotta tell you guys, I am agitated. And then I go on X and yeah, the whole people got on my case about the interpreter. I never remember Tanaka need an interpreter every time you go out. You can't communicate with your pitching coach and your catcher? I'm not asking you to. The media is different. I get it. I understand the media. I understand you wanting someone there. English is a second language. And let me tell you another thing. If I'm an American and you're only allowed a couple Americans per team in Japan, if you think they would tolerate what Seng has done to this team this year, if it was the other way around in their country with their top clubs, let me tell you, they'd ride that guy so fast his family would be out of town so quick. And believe me, they wouldn't be making all the accommodations. They wouldn't. There would be no, hey, I'm not used to pitching on 6 days, make it 5. No, you're pitching on 6 days in Japan. Here, we're 3 years in, he can't go on normal rest. 3 years in. And you're going to do this again next year? As it is, you don't have enough starters. You had a golden opportunity to put Cincinnati away. Tough stretch coming up. And you pissed it away against a minor league club. And today, to me, was it not about losing the game? Because the way Alcantara again pitched, you were going to probably lose that game. I don't know if McLean could have beaten him. But you were not competitive. And not competitive at this time of the year doesn't fly. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with September and Mets math. We'll talk about that right after this.
You talked about the important stretch coming up. How concerned are you that you haven't been able to find this, the mix, and you've got 10 games coming up against left contenders?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not concerned, I know I got a good team here, and we'll get these guys back in line, yeah, I mean, I can sit here and think about what's the next 10 days going to look like. Worry about tomorrow. We got a good series against a really good team, but we're good too. We just got to clean it up and then keep going.
You talked about the important stretch coming up.
All right, we're back. So where does that leave the Mets? So I had to take a break. I'm really heated. I got to be honest with you. This whole thing, I got frustrated on Saturday about the little blue pit off of Rogers. And, to be honest with you, I mean, I think this team getting into the postseason could beat anybody in a short series. They've got the components, especially with the way the offense is. They've got the components of a team that in a short tournament can do well. And I understand that. The thing that really I'm not sure about is them winning on the road, which they haven't done all year. But they really do. Now, there's a couple of things that could throw a wrench into that. You're going to have to rely on the kids. I mean, this is what it's going to come down to. It's going to be Tong. It's going to be McLean. Sproat probably will get a start. I don't know what they're going to do with Senga. I mean, but if you move Holmes to the bullpen at that point and you think you could get your starts, you throw Peterson, because you need four starters in the postseason. If Sproat comes up and is effective and you get enough out of McLean and Tong, and then you have Peterson as your fourth starter, I would say Senga doesn't even make the roster. At this point, I don't even think Senga should make the roster. I really don't. I'm that disgusted with him at that point. You know, you have enough with Holmes and Diaz and Rogers and the two lefties and Reilly and Soto. And then, let's not forget McGill could come in with some long relief. And who knows maybe what he can do. You have enough to compete in a postseason series. Now, winning on the road, that's a different story, which they're going to have to do. But you have enough. But the fact of the matter is that you have a key member of this staff that you've built the whole rotation around all season that can't be competitive and then comes in and gives you his lower half isn't right? Am I not supposed to be annoyed and agitated? And you guys have known me for a long time. I've never been this angry on the air. I'm just annoyed beyond belief, I have to tell you. All right, so what is this going to look like now? So you go into the final month right now, you look at the standings, and the Mets right now are four games up in the wild card. The Reds are a game over 500. Mets are four games up in the loss column with 64 losses. What's realistic for the Mets? And to me, guaranteed, you want to say guaranteed to get into the postseason is 90 wins. I don't believe this team has the ability to go 17-8 the rest of the way. I don't think they can do it. I don't think they've played like that. Certainly haven't played like that. They've played. They're a bottom five team since June in all of baseball. They haven't played like that. So I don't think this team could go 17-8. Guaranteed, I think 90 wins gets them in. It gets them in rather easily. Now, what is realistic? Personally, here's what I did. I looked at the rest of the schedule here. Maybe they could go, and this is not an easy thing because these are tough places. You play Detroit. You don't face Scooble, but you play Detroit now on Labor Day and through the first part of the week, and then they go to Cincinnati. To me, this is a critical week. If they could do well this week and they could keep the lead at four or greater by the time they leave Cincinnati at this time next week, then I feel like they're in a good spot. Then I would feel better. And, that's going to be a critical series in Cincinnati. I mean, that's a team that has a chance to make the postseason. They got a good manager. They've got some good young players. They got a couple arms out of that bullpen. They got some decent pitching. They're going to be up for the Mets. And that's the thing I think the Mets got to start realizing, that teams are going to get up. Teams like Miami are going to get up for them. It's going to happen. If they could go 3-3 on this road trip, which means they lose one series, they win another, maybe they lose the Detroit series, maybe they win in Cincinnati and they take 2 out of 3. I think that's critical because of the fact that, that would keep them, they pick up ground right there on Cincinnati. They go 3-3, can they go to Philly after that and split the series? That's another question. Can they finish the 10-game trip 5-5? That's asking a lot because they haven't really done anything spectacular on the road all year. This is not like last year's team that goes on a tough West Coast trip and survives it. They haven't shown that they can go on the road and survive it. And bad starting pitching will do that. When you get non-competitive outings from your starters at home, like you did this weekend, you're going to maybe, like they did on Saturday, get back in a ball game. You're not going to get back in a ball game on the road. So if they could come back to Citi Field and then they have a 9-game homestand after that, 5-5, and they could go 5-4 on that homestand with the Nats, the Padres, and Texas. And Jacob deGrom is probably going to pitch in one of those games, so it'll be very interesting. That's going to be a weird night at Citi Field. I kind of looked at it. It looks like he's on par. He's on schedule to be maybe the Friday or the Saturday start, assuming that he doesn't get shut down. I mean, Texas is in the race. I think they'll still be in the race by then. Will be interesting. Who knows? If they're not in the race, or maybe Jake doesn't want to be involved in that, I'd be surprised. I think that'd be an awesome night. It'll be a stressful night because the Mets are going to probably have to win a game. They're going to have to beat a really good pitcher, and who knows if they can. And then, you know, the end of the season. Now, maybe Chicago at that point has nothing to play for if the positioning has already been set. But that's always a tough place to play. And then you're ending the season in Miami. And God forbid this team has to win 2 out of 3 or has to win the last day of the season like they did last year in Milwaukee to get into a postseason spot. I mean, the Marlins historically, I mean, whether it's 07, whether it's 08, whether it's, you know, other times in their history, hey, it's almost been a kryptonite. And you know, it's a huge problem, to be quite honest. And I mean, do you have faith right now in a big game that they could beat the Marlins in the middle of Miami in a stadium where nobody shows up? I don't know about that. So I look at that, and I look at 3 wins on this road, 5-5 on this road trip. Another 5 wins at home is 10, and then a 3-3 is 13. That's a very modest, basically 500 team the rest of the way, and that gets you 85 wins. And I'm not sure they could do better than that because they've never shown consistency. I have to factor in Helsley not being very good, even if he figures stuff out. You have to think that there's going to be a stinker here and there with the starters because there always is. If Senga's in the rotation, he's got 2 or 3 more starts. I think those are total 0 games. And you're going to have to go long in the bullpen. And that's the thing. I mean, I know you have an extra. They haven't announced who the pitcher is. And I'll check before we get off there. They haven't announced who the pitcher is being called up. We know Acuna is being called up, but we haven't heard about the pitcher. But the days of shuttling, I mean, they're probably going to have guys on standby. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you've had to have 2 guys now get shuttled. Waddell will probably be shuttled. And you had Devinsky yesterday, who would have been a nice piece in that bullpen to help out if you didn't have to ask him to get 3 innings, because you got starters who can't go more than 2 or 3 innings. The Little League starts are absurd. So, you know, some of you and I'll tell you what's even worse, is if they play in September, and if they get the starting pitching that they got in August and September, even though they scored a bunch in August, and you have to think they may cool down a little bit against better competition, against some teams that are that have better starters, you know, this could be problematic where you're looking at a team that finishes closer to 500, and they ain't going to make the playoffs on that. Right now, the key is, can you make the postseason? And do they have what it takes to make the postseason and to go get it done? And the fact that here we are on August 31st, that I have to rant and rave about Senga and Peterson, and Helsley's got to go to the lab, and you have to reach down. It's embarrassing that a group of veterans now has to be asked to be saved by kids who, a month ago, I talked about it on this show, where it was like, hey, there's no chance the Mets are going to ask these kids at Syracuse and AA Binghamton to save their season. It's unfair to ask them that. You know, let them finish their development, come to spring training and compete for a job. Guess what? They're lucky these kids have cojones, because the kids have cojones, because the big league guys don't. Because either the big league guys are hurt, or they stink, or they have no balls. It's got to be one of the three. And I'm sorry, you've never heard me talk like this, but these guys deserve it. Because the performance of this starting rotation throughout the month of August, games they're up 6-0, where all they had to do was throw strikes and get out, so they couldn't do that against bottom feeders like Atlanta, Miami, Washington. And the thing they better remember is, especially when it comes to playing at Citi Field, you're playing at packed houses at Citi Field now. You don't think a team like Miami, who plays in front of nobody, plays in front of flies, doesn't get up to play at Citi Field? Of course they do. Of course they do. Remember when the biggest problem was Soto's clothing allowance for the mom? Remember when that was a big story? So, I mean, guys, this is where it's at. This is a very short show on Labor Day. I'm not going to belabor the point here because I'm really angry. You have a team right now that has a lot to prove. That better look in the mirror starting tomorrow. How badly do they want to make the postseason? Because I got to tell you, there are guys on this roster that are not serious about making the postseason. Ryan Stanek's not a serious player. Kodai Senga is not serious. I think David Peterson's serious, but I'm not so sure. Listen, I remember David Peterson September 2022 when he spit the bit after really helping the Mets for a couple of months when Scherzer and DeGrom were down. Now is the time to prove that Peterson's a mainstay. I was about to say, you know, this guy's starting to remind me of Andy Pettit. Boy, that gets erased real quick. And look, Clay Holmes, you know, does he have enough left in the tank? I mean, at this point, and who would have thought this a year ago? I'd rather have Tyler McGill out there than Kodai Senga. That's how ridiculous it is. And he's the ace? He's the guy that you're building your team around? Come on. Ridiculous. Really ridiculous. So that's all I have for you tonight. I just have an angry rant, which I hate to do because, quite honestly, this team deserves it. A week that could have really been a capper of a great week. And look, there are positives. I mean, McLean and his development in a short time is a positive. How Tong was able to navigate that first start when he didn't have great stuff reminded me of early career Zach Wheeler. I mean, that's a positive. I mean, here you are. You're throwing the kid into Cincinnati next week. Be interesting. If this thing tightens up over the next few days with the Mets in Detroit, maybe they lose a couple of games and the Reds do their thing. Let me look at the Reds' schedule real quick. You know, it'd be interesting to throw the kid in the middle of it. I mean, the Reds are playing Toronto, so that's not going to be easy for them. It'd be nice if the Mets go into Cincinnati with a five-game lead-ish. Give them some cushion. Because you may have Sproat and Tong in the two of those games. And I am a firm believer of this. The only way this team is going to have the breakthrough is with the kids. They're not going to. The current group of veterans don't have it to get them to the next level. They can be part of the solution going forward. They can be part of the team and have a piece of the roster and a piece of the success. But at this point, Kodai Senga and David Peterson might be this team's version of John Neese and Dylan G, who need Syndergaard, Harvey, Mats, DeGrom to bring it home because they don't have it. Is Peterson John Neese? Some days he looks like it. Is Kodai Senga Dylan G? By the way, Dylan G had more balls than Kodai Senga. Dylan G would have given you vintage pre-capsule surgery. Dylan G would have given you a better performance today than Kodai Senga. And he wouldn't be out there talking about his lower half. Because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the lower half. I'm sick of the six-man rotation. I'm sick of it. And that's all I have for you guys. So, anyway, that's it. Sorry, guys. I got to be brutally honest. I'm very disappointed today. Very disappointed in this club's and this weekend. I'm very angry with how they played the last couple of days because there's one thing to lose, especially at this time of the year. You're going to lose ball games, but to be non-competitive, that's a whole nother thing. All right, that's it. Of course, you can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at TalkingMetsNoG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com, no G, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG, and I'd love for you to subscribe to the newsletter, premium content, over at substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG, all for less than a price of a cup of coffee. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy your Labor Day. Stay tuned for more premium content, and we'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast next week. Till then, take care, everybody.
Meet the Mets. Head for the park.